Let's read now from God's Word, and we're going to read from John chapter 1. John is one of the eyewitness accounts in the New Testament, in the sort of second half of the Bible, one of the eyewitness accounts of the life and the work of Jesus. And it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the book of John. So we're going to read from John chapter 1, and then we're going to read from John chapter 14. Today we're focusing on another follower of Jesus, another one of these 12 chosen people, and we're going to be looking at Philip. So let's read John chapter 1, verse 43 to the end of the chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's turn to John chapter 14 now. And we're going to read verses 1 to 14. This is Jesus before his death in the upper room with his 12 followers. And these are his words of encouragement to them. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. These are God's words. May we be blessed by us reading them, and we're going to open them up in a few short moments. Keep open, if you can, the two passages that we read together. We're going to be looking at Philip this morning. Now, as we go through life, we are all ultimately searching for what will satisfy. We're searching for our place in this world. That is a natural desire in all of us. We can't deny that that's what's going on to some degree. And often we search as if we are the reference point. And we think, no, well, okay, I'm the fixed point. I'm the constant in my life. I'm the central piece. And what needs to be found out there is in relation to me, to my fixed position. And the irony is that we're not fixed at all. We're the ones who have drifted from the true reference point. We can find ourselves drifting aimlessly through life. I don't know if that is something that is your experience this morning, that we are drifting. We are in need of being searched after, sought after, and found. It's not our satisfaction that's lost and we're looking for it. It's we that are lost. One such seeker was Philip, one of the followers of Jesus. Now, kind of like meeting many people called Donald in the Highlands, we need to clarify that this isn't Philip the deacon, the evangelist who, for example, led the Ethiopian eunuch to faith in Jesus. He was his own man. He was different to that Philip. And he was also quite different to the other disciples, the other apostles of Jesus that we've looked at so far. But he was looking for a true reference point, and Jesus found him. That's our first thought today. Philip was found by Jesus. When Jesus was looking for the people that he would send out to change the world, we end up seeing something surprising. They weren't especially talented people. They weren't impressive as such. They weren't influential. He chose ordinary people, like Marshallie was saying, with average abilities, different personalities, different gifts, but it's them that Jesus chose. They would be taught. They would go, all of them, through ups and downs. They would make mistakes. And here was Philip, an ordinary guy. Probably, actually, quite a pragmatic, a practical thinking kind of guy. And with Philip, a spade was a spade. He wasn't one of these kind of cheery visionaries. He was quite a bit more cynical than that. And yet, he was one of the guys chosen and used so mightily by Jesus. We read from John chapter 1, and it says there that the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And those words, finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Turns out, Philip was out in the wilderness looking to follow someone else. He was aiming to follow John the Baptist, the prophet who had begun preaching about the coming of Jesus, God's chosen one. But instead, Jesus found Philip. And he was the first, but not the last, who Jesus said those words to, "Follow me." Actually, even though the other people that we've studied on these mornings together, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, even though they had been pointed in the direction of Jesus, they'd also been chosen by Jesus too. Because you see, Jesus was more than just a leader to follow. Jesus was God. And he tells them later on in the book of John, in John chapter 15, verse 16, he says to them specifically, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Now, Jesus, because he was God, chose them before he created time itself. But here with Philip, we see that choice that he made breaking into his story. Philip was someone who was searching for more, searching for meaning, searching for purpose out in the wilderness. And the creator of the universe searched and found him. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe it's your 100th. Maybe you don't think you're worth anything. But you are looking for something more in life. You've tried things. But where is the lasting satisfaction? What can fill that longing for something true and something eternal inside of all of us? Well, think about this. Instead of looking, this morning, might Jesus be looking for you? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter who you've been. Might Jesus be looking for you? Do you actually think that maybe the true constant, the fixed point of all purpose and meaning is actually a person looking for you? You don't need to be someone impressive. You don't need to be someone gifted. You don't even need to be someone sorted out. Don't come through these doors thinking you need to be sorted out first. Jesus chose this fisherman wandering far from home, and he made him one of his chosen 12. And he shaped and changed him. And look what Philip did next. He ran and went to find his friend Nathanael. And he said, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now look at that. He says those words, "We have found him." So as far as Philip knew, he had found Jesus rather than Jesus found him. And that's actually so true, isn't it? Because in the Bible and in real life, we've got this mysterious tension between us as creatures and Jesus as God. You've got this coexisting truth and harmony of God's choice and our choice. God's election perspective and our personal perspective. Jesus found Philip. We know that much. That part came first here. And that breaks into Philip's story. But Philip felt he had found Jesus himself. Both are true. But we know from the Bible, we know from what is revealed to us that one actually came first. Jesus chose and found him. But it's amazing that in his own experience, he felt as if he found Jesus. Philip found what he was looking for. And he wanted to share it with others. He had found the promised one. He had found the one who will one day put all things right, fulfill our deepest needs. He had found the Prince of all peace. And that impact on his life was powerful. He did what any follower of Jesus should want to do. Tell others and help them find the one we're all looking for as well. Let me tell you. You're looking for love. You're looking for love this morning. You'll find no greater love, no more lasting love than the love of Jesus, who laid down his life as a ransom for you. You're looking for success. I'm telling you, you'll find no sweeter success than getting to join in with the victory of Jesus over the darkness. And nothing more rewarding than the glory of a perfect eternal existence with Jesus when he comes back. You're looking for a home. You're looking for a home. A place you belong. You'll find no greater home than being with Jesus forever. Safe and secure now and for all of time. You're looking for identity. Whoever you are, whatever you struggle with, you'll find nothing like being wrapped up and covered in the identity of Jesus himself. That's what can happen when we're found by the one who found Philip. But we also learn from the life of Philip that it doesn't end all of a sudden with, "Oh, Jesus found me, great." It doesn't end there. He also shapes and changes us. So not only First of all, was Philip found by Jesus? He was. Secondly, tested by Jesus. If someone asks you a riddle, how you feel about that riddle depends on who is asking you. If it's a smarmy person at a dinner table wanting to catch us all out and show off how much they know instead, you might feel an incredible urge to give a swift punch to the nose. But if it's a parent or if it's a teacher asking you some sort of riddle, generally it's because they want to test and shape your ability to think outside the box. In John chapter 6, it's a passage that we didn't read, but there was a massive crowd of over 5,000 people who had gathered to hear Jesus. And Jesus turns to Philip and he asks Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, it's likely that Philip was a sort of micromanager kind of guy. He had a personality more suited to administration and organizing details. He was already doing the sums in his head as people were gathering in, already trying to work out the practicalities. And verse 7 tells us his reaction. "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." To him, the whole scenario was impossible. It can't be done. And from a human perspective, he was totally right. They didn't nearly have enough money to feed everyone even a tiny little bit. So his pragmatism kicked in and his cynicism seemed to follow. I think I would describe many of us. But in between verses 5 and 7 comes verse 6. Jesus asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip lost out on the chance to know the reward of faith. He didn't realize that Jesus was testing him to help him see outside the box of the humdrum, normal, pragmatic rhythm of life. And instead, Jesus wanted him to see the supernatural potential of faith in Jesus. Trusting instead in the one in control of all creation, able to work miracles in the hardest of hearts, turn around the worst of situations to do the impossible. He wanted to test Philip so that he would lift up his eyes from the pragmatic up to Jesus. Sometimes Jesus puts us into hard situations too, to give us the chance to trust that he's in control. The book of James actually tells us why we are sometimes tested by God. And actually, we should consider it a joy. Why? Because it says, "The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete." Jesus was testing Philip's faith, and Jesus will test our faith so that we will learn to persevere, to learn what it means to actually lean on Jesus, even when things seem difficult, even when they seem impossible, when we feel we can't naturally do this or do that. And it's that persevering trust in Jesus that leads to becoming more mature, more complete. The more you lean on Jesus for all things, the more complete you will be. What opportunities has Jesus given you to know his power, to know his love, to know his amazing grace? Do you think it's impossible for God to change your heart? Do you think it's impossible for God to change the hearts of your neighbors? Do you think it's impossible for God to change the hearts of your family, of your friends? Are you looking at the situations of your life with a pragmatic mind? And if you're honest, you're not really expecting much. You're not expecting anything. Don't fail the test like Philip did. Remember who Jesus is. He's the God of the universe. He's the Savior who died to save sinners. He's able to use the worst moments for good. He's able to use you in the hardest of situations. He's Jesus. And remember that Jesus. And remember that Jesus' call to follow him in discipleship. It's not an invitation to participate in a program. It's not an invitation to share in a cause. It's to be with a person who can make us into the people he wants us to be. And he'll test us. He'll bring us through hard times. He'll shape us to lean on him, to trust in him far more than we already do, so that we will become mature and complete. Philip was finding, was looking, was searching for purpose to be more complete. Jesus was shaping him to know that. Our last thought on Philip comes from chapter 14. On a night where Jesus' time physically there with his friends was coming to an end. All 12 have been with him for 3 years, and this was the night Jesus was going to be betrayed. He was going to be put on trial and then eventually put to death on the cross. Jesus wanted to encourage them. And so John chapters 13 to 17 are filled with some of the most encouraging and amazing teaching ever. But there they are, all 12, in this upper room, bickering over which of them was the greatest. Philip was found by Jesus. He was tested by Jesus. And he was also taught by Jesus. Because perhaps the most disappointing comment of the whole night came from Philip. Jesus says those amazing, famous words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." He's clearly saying, and he clearly has been saying, that he is God. That Jesus himself and God the Father have the same essence. Now, in the mystery of their infinite glory, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. To know Jesus is to know God. What a truth. What a mystery. What a depth. You want to know what the invisible God of the whole universe is like? Look at Jesus. God himself who stepped onto the real pages of history to show us, to reveal to us who God is. Who is seeking for us? Who is looking for you this morning? God is. Who shapes us? Who tests us? God does. Who teaches us? God does. Why? Because God cares for you. He cares for us. Let me repeat it for you as clear as day. God cares for you, for me forever. And with that, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus has been with them for 3 years. He's done countless miracles. He's healed so many. He's resurrected the dead even. And still, Philip doesn't quite get it. Do you? Who did he think Jesus was? What did he think Jesus was proving? Now, Philip, like all of us, he was a limited person. Slow to understand, wanting more proof, not knowing that that very night he would get it. Now, we look back at the greatest evidence of all, the fact that Jesus voluntarily went to the cross. He died for our sins and guilt, and he rose again in history to prove it. Who do you think Jesus was? What do you think he was trying to prove? He was teaching Philip the reality of who he was talking to. And he's teaching you and me today who we're in the presence of. Who is here looking for you, caring for you, shaping you? It's God. Amazingly, it's this limited, weak-faithed guy, Philip, that Jesus was looking for, that Jesus can use. We learn from history that Philip was used greatly to spread the gospel after Jesus rose again from the dead. And probably 8 years after James was martyred and put to death, Philip was martyred by stoning. But that wasn't before many people came and heard. They came to faith in Jesus through his life, through Philip's preaching. Philip is just another example of what Jesus can do when he finds and uses people who are simply available. You feel lost? Jesus can find you. You feel you've got weak faith? Jesus can draw out of you his tests to show you how amazing he can be. You feel you're a bit slow. You don't know what to think or say. You don't know how to share. Jesus can teach you. Drink up his word. Read his word. Be shaped and taught by his words to you today. Read. Listen. Philip was a man looking for purpose, looking for the truth, lost in the wilderness, and Jesus found him and completed him. And now, Philip is at home with Jesus, truly and fully satisfied, truly and fully found. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these thoughts from his word.